This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts, Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products, good and bad. Welcome to the final cast. You're listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brad. In the house is Jimmy.
What's up? I'm back.
What's up, man? What's up?
Man, just working myself to death. I'm ready for this week to be over with. It's bad.
Yeah, that's not any good, dude.
What about you?
Working. I'm the last week of work here. I start a new job Monday, so.
Heck yeah. You looking forward to that?
I guess. Like I've told my wife, I second-guess myself on everything, so I've second-guessed this new job like 12 times.
As long as you're leaving on a good note, though, man, maybe you could go back if you don't like it.
Yeah. We'll see. If I don't like it, I'll just start my own company.
That's what I did. It there works.
Yep. Well, we got a cool guest for you guys tonight. I don't know if our listeners have heard you or not yet, but Tackle Talk Podcast, Andrew Hayes. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Good. Yeah, this is cool because I listen to your podcast. I've listened to it probably for the last 7 months, I'm guessing, something like that, since the beginning of the pandemic. So, yeah, it's cool to have you on.
Hey, he's a fanboy.
Hey, what's funny is, too, is like I didn't realize until – what, maybe 2-3 months ago that we both live in Dayton, like same city. Like, what are the odds of that? I think it was Ryan that told me about you and about you guys. And I was like, holy cow. It's like, what are the odds of two fishing podcasts being out of Dayton, or at least having somebody out of Dayton, Ohio? Like, I would have never pegged that.
Yeah.
I was smart enough with this to just put the graphic up from Step Brothers. Did we just become best friends? Yep.
Well, considering it took me 15 minutes to figure out how to share my video, I don't think we're too technically savvy here right now.
Wait, Jimmy's filling in for my other co-host, other guy that's usually on the podcast. He's actually from Kettering also.
Yeah, that's insane. I was going to say, we still need to get out and hit the river, too. I know we've talked about it for like 2 months now, but we do need to get out before it gets too cold.
I know. Let's do it.
I'm anxious to see you. I've seen these pictures of you out in a Big Bird suit. I haven't got to see it in person yet.
Hey, old Big Bird.
Dude, now he's I'm got getting a matching so much boat. Crap about that.
Matching boat.
From everybody.
And you have a new kayak every 3 days.
That's true. Everybody knows me for the Big Bird suit and different kayak every time they see me.
No, what we actually know him for is being the most indecisive person in the world.
Yep.
Through every kind of kayak out there by the time we hit December 31st, I would assume. How many have you had in the past couple months?
Just two.
Oh, okay. I must have seen pictures of you trying other buddies or other people's out then.
Yeah, I try everybody's out. Somebody has something new, I'm like, hey, let me get in that.
I got an Ascend 10T with a couple holes in it you can try out if you want.
Oh, jeez. I saw your weld job on it, too.
Yeah, ask Ryan about that. We went on like it was probably like a 4 or 5 mile kayak trip, and about, I'm not kidding you, dude, like a fourth of a mile into it, breaks wide open. And I mean, just, we can't keep water out of it. It's taking on like probably 30, 40, 50 gallons of water every like 5 minutes. And you're just slowly sinking down to the point where the top part, like the lip of the kayak, is even with the water. And like every 10 minutes you have to stop and dump it. We were just trying to get through the trip. I mean, it was the sketchiest kayak trip I've ever taken.
And it was on that one stretch that I'm thinking is like 8 or 9 miles.
Yes. Yeah. It was awful. And it's one of those ones where there's no turning back either.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we got like a quarter mile into it and we're just like, got to make it work somehow. So I had to keep stopping, dumping it. And you'd go around these bins that have, you know, the trees that if you're not careful can kind of pin you and stuff. And you're trying to navigate this while you still have probably 150 pounds of water in your kayak. You're like, this is not what I signed up for today.
Yeah, I've done that.
Like this keep people off of kayaks.
I've done that stretch once, man, and it's a long stretch. I mean, 12 hours plus.
Dude, there's some good spots there, but yeah, you're right. It's a it's a sun up to sundown in the time of year where the day is longest
to get through. It must be. Is it really curvy? I mean, because 8-9 miles honestly is not that far, but
yeah, it's pretty windy back and forth, and there's a lot of spots you got to like get out and portage, and
yeah,
there's a couple spots where you want to pull off and you want to actually, you know, fish by foot for, you know, 45 minutes or so too. So that obviously drags it out a little bit, but
yeah,
I mean, it's also one of those things where when we went, it was supposed to be a fairly calm day, and then you get, again, right when I broke it open, and the wind just starts going like 15 miles an hour in your face to the point where you're not going downstream anymore. You're being pushed upstream by wind, and you're like, this is going to make this into what feels like a 20-mile-an-hour trip or 20-mile trip now.
Yep. Well, for those who have not heard your podcast or know who you are, give us a little background on you.
Yeah. So I live in Dayton, Ohio. I've been fishing pretty much my whole life, but I would say probably started taking it seriously, like, goodness, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. Really when I got out of college and, you know, kind of went out on my own and realized that I missed a lot of that stuff from my childhood, which was just like, you know how fishing is. It's your escape. It's your time to like just decompress from, I've said it a million times, but like, you shut off your email, you shut off your phone, you go out in the middle of nowhere. And I like going by myself a lot too. I know a lot of people like, you know, taking big trips with buddies and stuff. It's like, I love going out by myself in the kayak or wading or whatever, and just getting away from everything. And, you know, I realized I missed that. So I got back into it. And then probably a year into taking it relatively seriously, I've said this before too, but it's just like, there was one fish that just got me hooked. It's back there somewhere on the wall. It's like, that fish came out of Dayton. It was like 6 or 7 pounds probably. And jeez, it was just one of those ones where it's like, I'd never seen a fish remotely that big before. My biggest fish before that was probably like, I don't know, maybe 4. And it was just one of those things where you're just hooked. It's like that fish turned me into like, from a recreational angler to like, I wake up in the morning and all I can think about is fishing, like from that day on. So I have a lot to thank, for that fish, but you know, I stuck with it. I really enjoy exploring new water. I think that's my favorite part about everything. And we're really lucky around here because we do have a fairly good river system, and you have a lot of area that's not completely off limits or that you can get to. You got some river spots that are shallow enough you can wade, or accessible enough you can kayak. So, you know, we have a lot of water to discover and kind of go and play around with. So I really like that aspect of it too. And then, you know, about a year ago, I've been doing like Instagram and stuff for a while, just because I wanted to start basically like a photo collage for myself to be able to remember some of these fish, and, you know, not have them just get lost on an iPhone that I'm eventually going to drop and lose all my pictures off of. So I started that, and then I realized it was like, I wanted to find a fishing show that I could listen to while I was in the truck for work. And back that time, that would have been like a year and a half ago probably at this point, and I just couldn't find anything that like was the format that I was looking for, that was just short, precise. Like, I wanted, you know, tips, tricks, I wanted reviews on stuff, I wanted unbiased stuff, which is so hard to find nowadays too, because everybody's got a billion sponsors and all kinds of stuff. So I was just, you know, I got fed up eventually, and I was like, I think I can probably do something, you know, worth listening to. So I started doing it and just kind of stuck with it. It was like, hey, you know, I'm gonna put one out a week and I'm gonna see where it goes. And luckily, people started listening to it, and I really enjoy doing it. It just gives me an outlet to kind of, you know, vent and talk about certain things. And there's nothing better. You guys get the same thing, I'm sure, where it's like, it's those messages you get of people that listen, that enjoy it, that, you know, took something they learned and caught their biggest fish of the year or something. It's like that kind of stuff just makes it really, really cool. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's for sure. But, yeah. You guys want to get into some tackle talk, I guess?
Yes, I am always down.
Sweet. This episode we're going to be talking about buzzbaits, spinnerbaits, jigs, and chatterbaits.
And trailers.
And trailers, yeah. Because we were talking about putting trailers on spinnerbaits and stuff. And I know for sure, or I don't do that, but I know a lot of other guys do. But, yeah, let's start there. How do you guys, I mean, do you guys throw trailers on spinnerbaits or what?
You know, start. Yeah, I don't usually, and it's because I've gotten so hooked to having to have a stinger hook or a trailer hook on my spinnerbait. Like, I've tried it both ways. I've tried throwing a little paddle tail or something on the back, and I mean, there's no doubt that it catches fish. It basically becomes like, are you worried about bulking up your profile and going after those bigger fish or going after that bigger bite or just trying to put more, you know, water displacement, things like that? Then yeah, I guess probably a paddle tail makes more sense because you're getting your two blades, you're getting an extra kick off that thing and you're getting bulk. But a lot of times I just get so hung up in not making sure that I miss any of the bites I have. And I can't tell you how many fish that I have caught on a spinnerbait that has only been like skin hooked on the trailer hook. So a lot of times I opt for a trailer hook, and I haven't really found a good way to do both yet. I've tried to put like a paddle tail on and then put the trailer hook on top. It obviously impedes the motion of the paddle tail. So I usually opt for a stinger hook over a paddle tail, but there's a time and place for both, I think.
Go ahead, Brad.
Unless you're fishing for smallies, then they just smack the spinner bait.
Right. Which is another reason to have a trailer hook. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Again, if I'm fishing like a really big spinner bait, you're like a 3/8 ounce or something, just you're trying to thump through that water. It's like, put a really small stinger hook on the back of that big, you know, because you know how it goes. Smallies, getting them to actually inhale that bait and get that whole hook in their mouth, if you're looking at, you know, a 2-3-4-aught hook, sometimes there's a lot to ask of them. So if you can put like a little bit more of a micro kind of stinger hook on the back of there, a lot of times you will catch those. So I do that quite a bit.
Yeah,
I've played around with a lot of all of it, you know, for the same reason you're talking about, like a short strike. That's the whole reason I've stopped trying to make the paddle tail happen, because it's just going to put them even further back. Stinger hooks, there's a, I can't think of the brand name of the one I like, but it's basically the eyelet's wax covered, which is great because you can make it stationary. And I actually have got where I've used it on the buzz toad. I haven't had any luck with it because I honestly don't throw this as much. But the few bites I've had at this, they were trailing back behind it pretty far. And that, I think it's a 1/0 stinger hook. And it doesn't even clear the paddle tails. So if they come up to nip the feet, I mean, it's, you know, less than 1/4 inch from the feet. It's just, but again, this is a bait that I'm trying to make myself throw more. So I can't really say if I've had success with it. But other than that, like, I tend to go towards spinner baits like the Terminator, where it's a relatively short hook. And then I usually trim the skirts to get close to the hook like that. And I just seem to have more success with it that way. Usually if I'm getting really short strikes on the spinner bait, I just quit throwing it, to be honest. I find something else, whether I swap to like an underspin or something just draw them in a little closer.
Makes sense. That you brought up a good point about the spinner bait and trimming the skirt. I've started doing that with my spinner baits. I think you recommended War Eagle to me, actually. And their skirts are pretty long on the end.
Yeah.
I end up cutting those flush with all the other skirt around it.
Yep, you can do that too. So kind of the interesting part is, depending on what brand you get, some of the skirts are really interesting because some of them are just bulk. And you're right, you can cut those down and you can trim those up and make them a little bit more finesse. But some of these spinner baits and some other baits too that you'll see will actually have like their skirt made on purpose, where it will be long, but the long strands will be, you know, 1/4 of what the actual strands are. And in the water, that thing swims really well, and it basically makes what you're hoping that paddle tail would be, which is just kind of like a swimming sort of tail on the end. So yeah, I mean, it depends on the brand too, but yeah, I'm a big War Eagle guy. I just think, you know, there's no frills on it, really. It's just a good, solid spinnerbait. I love their colors. I think they do really good with the blades, too. They're not cheap blades, which I like. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there's a time and place for both. And I know you mentioned that you like the stinger hooks with, like, the wax on them, which those are great, too. Another thing that you can do, a lot of times I'll have people that will be like, hey, you know, I bought these hooks. And you'll have the ones that have the really big eyelet that just kind of slide over and then you're going to have to peg it there somehow. And a lot of people use like, you know, a little piece of plastic or something. One thing that works really well is jig collars. Like if you ever make your own jigs, like those little rubber pieces that are like 2 cents each, you can buy, you know, a whole pack of them for like $1 or $2. Those make really good kind of things to just slide over that barb of the hook. And then it lets that stinger hook or that trailer hook kind of free swing a little bit more. And then that way it's kind of moving with the bait in the water. And it's not every once in a while, if you have one of those ones that just kind of attaches and it's got a piece of plastic or it's got some of that wax or something, sometimes it'll get caught and jammed and it'll kind of look a little whopper jawed and it'll go off to the side a little bit and you have to kind of straighten it back out. If you get those free swinging ones, you'll make sure that it kind of stays the way you want, which is kind of parallel with your bait.
Something I've done with those is shrink wrap.
Yeah.
Put them on too. And then slide a small cut of shrink wrap over it just like you said, so it still gets that back and forth motion.
Yep.
Pretty
cool. See, I've seen Strike King, the Banshee series, they come with the trailer hook on the back of them.
You ever seen one those? I have one of those around here somewhere. I bought it. I actually really liked it because I thought, you know, it was kind of cool. It had painted blades. The only thing I didn't really like about the Banshee ones is that head on that thing was
huge.
So big. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's probably my biggest problem with this one right here. This is a, I can't even remember the guy's name. It's custom stuff from Tennessee. And that head is just like a giant round ball. And like he uses a barrel swivel, like a very big barrel swivel on his blades. And like, this is probably the hardest thumping spinnerbait I've ever owned. But that head catches everything in the water. So this is clear open water only. And I've tend to use this one at night. Same with I like the Yamamoto spinnerbait. And like we were talking about trimming the skirt. If I'm going to throw them at night, I don't trim the skirt. You know, give it as much profile and undulation as it can.
Yeah. Who's that? Josh Strinko from the Somali Talk podcast, he was talking about using Accent Lures buzzbait, or not buzzbait, spinnerbait, the all black one. And he likes to throw, I think he said a half ounce on the river when the river's like up and muddy. I'm like, man, I need to try that. Because that thing looks sweet. The midnight color.
I've got some black and blue Academy brand $1 spinnerbaits. And I can tell you, I've got probably $100 in spinnerbaits laying just right here. And that black and blue $1 spinnerbait, or no, it's black and chartreuse. I'm sorry. I bought one with a Colorado and one with double willows. And I probably caught 10 times as many fish on those. And like,
really?
I think I've got the same two I started with. Like, they won't, I've had to sharpen the hooks on them.
Yeah.
Like, but they won't die. Like, they look so bad, but they just still work. And I've thrown them in muddy water, stained water, daytime, nighttime. It doesn't matter. That black just, like, I throw black and blue anything in clear water.
I do too.
You know?
Yep.
Yep.
I think it's kind of the same thing.
Do you guys remember the $1, like, Walmart spinnerbaits they used to
make? Yeah.
Like, the white and, like, Carolina Tar Heel blue color they used to have.
Yeah,
same thing. Like I've probably caught 200 fish in my lifetime on those things. And you know, the only problem I used to have with them, obviously they're cheap, so they rust out fairly easily. But like we talked about, if you're using like a trailer hook, and if that's the hook that's getting the hookup for you with the fish, like 80% of the time anyway, it's like you can use these really trashy, you know, spinnerbaits if you really want to, and just put a good hook on the back of it.
I love using, not to get to buzzbaits yet, but just to hit on it, you talk about them rusting, makes me think about it. The cheap Academy and Walmart buzzbaits were some of my favorite when I was younger, because you let them get that first little bit of rust, and then they just start squealing like crazy.
Yep.
it's awesome.
Yeah. There's another spinnerbait that's like $2.99, I think. Jawbone. I don't know if you guys have seen those or not.
Those are at Field and Stream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I started picking them up a couple years back, and I would catch smallmouth on them. I caught one of the baddest smallmouth I have ever caught on one of those $2.99 spinnerbaits.
Yeah, that's the in-house brand for Dixon Field and Stream, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they make like some little cranks and stuff like that too. They make a really weird, again, not to get off topic here, they get a really weird like crankbait that looks like a one of those Rebel Craws. Except it's got flapping craw, like hard plastic flapping craw appendages on it for a tiny little crankbait. They're the dumbest looking lure I've ever seen in my entire life. They're like $2.
And they probably catch fish.
I was going to say, and I bought one, and I'll be damned if I didn't catch fish on it. So
that's awesome.
That's like I saw, I don't know what the lure is called. Again, not to get too far off topic, but it's a topwater bait. They look like parakeets.
The Chase Baits makes it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
I had a video pop up the other day of a dude catching like a 9 on one. Like that thing's just walking its way out from under the trees. And like, you don't even think it's a bass. It's so big when it comes up and smokes it. I thought it was like a catfish or something. Cause it's not an American video. And then he just like pulls this thing up. And I was like, holy cow, maybe I should second guess this thing. Like,
yeah, they have some weird name. They're like the bank robber or something. I can't remember what it's called, but it's something weird like that. And you're right. They look just like straight up like a dog toy or something. Like it's a full blown bird.
That's crazy. I don't think I've seen that.
I'll have to see if it just ran across Facebook. If it should pop up again, I'll send it to you. It's insane.
See, you guys get all these cool ads. I heard you talk about you guys talking about hog farmers and stuff. I'm like, I get stupid like
election results.
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck, dude? I don't freaking follow any of this stuff.
Well, what's your go-to spinnerbait, Brad?
Right now it's been the War Eagle, the finesse. Just because I fish for smallmouth, so I try to keep my baits more compact for them. But
I used those War Eagle stuff forever, and a buddy of mine got me on the Terminator stuff, the Titanium series, mm-hmm. and that's just been they're expensive, my God, they're expensive, but I don't know, they seem to last, the wire is pretty strong. And then they've got like little things that I like that are different about them. Like it's got a spring in between the beads. I don't know if you can see that, but I don't know. I don't know what that does, but I haven't seen anybody else do it. So
interesting.
It's different. And the skirts, I don't know. They just feel like a little better quality.
Yeah.
I pick up too many baits and like, wow, this skirt's garbage. And I don't know. I really like these baits. I feel like it's a company that, the bait's expensive, but you're actually getting some quality out of the money.
Makes sense.
You know who makes sneaky good spinnerbaits too is like Booyah and Strike King. Both of them make fairly solid spinnerbaits.
Yeah. I bet you I've got 50 Booyah spinnerbaits in there right now.
Yeah, because they always go on sale. They're always the ones like on Black Friday or around Christmas or whatever, where it's like buy four for $5 or something stupid, and then the Bass Pro or wherever it is stocked up on them for 6 months because they couldn't get rid of all of them. Those are the ones that I have.
I can't remember if it was them or Strike King, but they introduced a crap load of new colors the beginning of this year, or maybe it was last year, and I've got some like wicked different red and crawl combinations because I like throwing red spinner baits and stuff like that. And like I've got a Fire Tiger one. I can't remember if it was Booyah or but I crazy color combos.
Let me ask you guys this. You guys talked about red, so when is the right time to throw that?
Yes.
Yes, all the time?
A lot of guys around here talk about how the crawls only molt red in the spring.
Yeah.
I can say that that's not true around here because you'll catch some of them red going into the fall. Like I can start to pull the red chatterbait back out this time of year. Like I was actually playing with it last time I went fishing, throwing the Alabama craw colored trailers and stuff on like Texas rigs and stuff like that. And they were picking it back up. A buddy of mine was catching fish that looked like they had been eating craw. So somebody told me, an old man told me once, I've never like fact checked it. He said that certain parts of the country that the craws will molt twice that color, twice in the year.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when it's natural for obviously spring, but I don't know if we naturally have them go through red again. But I mean, obviously spring is around here is what I think of when I think of red. But again, you're right. Fall, I've caught like really early summer. I've done really well on red sometimes too. So, but basically once I see that pre-spawn start to heat up, I'm throwing like red spinner baits. I'm throwing red square bills. I'm throwing red jigs, throwing red everything. Black and red jigs in the spring. Oh boy.
Mm. You know what comes to mind is Jigmasters, that hot sauce.
Yes, like something like that. Yeah, I have one that I used to make that was basically like, I called it like a black cherry color, basically. But same thing, yeah. It's like just black and red, springtime, or sneaky time too. Anytime where it's like, if you're thinking, at least I do, whenever I think that there's like dirty water and I think fish are getting pressured on black and blue, and they just need to see something a little different, I'll keep a black and red in there too.
That makes sense.
Dang, I was hoping I think I gave them all to Ryan and Sean. We've got a local guy here that makes some pretty wicked chatterbaits. And we got him to do white head, like fire engine red trailers with black blades. And
that'd be sick.
It's probably just because it's not been thrown, but the first 2 years, me and my buddy Greg were running them. Those things were just murdering fish. And then we got him to make us bubblegum pink with black blade. And again, probably just
muddy water right there.
Oh man, yeah,
just something different. Yep.
Yep. He made a handful of them for us. I gave Ryan and Sean some of the red ones, but the pink ones, those are mine.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that juice.
You guys, have you guys seen how some spinnerbait companies, how they make the R bend in the wire? Have you seen them making them where they're twisting them? I haven't seen those in a while.
I think one of the ones I've got right here is twisted. I could be wrong. No,
I wish they would. I wish they'd do it more often.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what I end up doing usually is I end up putting like either an O-ring, or I used to even do like, it's kind of embarrassing, but like the trash bag ties, you know, like those little bread ties or something. I used to tie one of those around that and then snip it and cut it because I'm lazy and I use a snap all the time. And you can't obviously throw a snap on an R-bend spinnerbait. You're going to have a bad time. It's going to start sliding all over the place. So I used to use those little like bread ties, and I used to basically just make a loop up there so that I could attach my snap.
That's something I don't really care for their spinnerbait, but the Guggen Bait spinnerbait comes with a really tight band around the R-bend. And I haven't had one pop off or slip down or roll or anything like that. I feel like a lot more companies, like you're saying, a lot more companies should do a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're not going to do a twist, I think it, because I don't care what you tie it on, braid slides down, mono, fluoro, they all end up sliding. That little band doesn't cost anything. And I mean, that when I opened that first one up and saw that, I was like, why is no one else doing this?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Completely agree. It drives me nuts at times, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Well, but after this podcast, they'll know.
Yeah.
They're listening to us.
Yeah. He mentioned using a snap, man. Ryan actually got me onto using a snap with the Rico. Because I switched from Rico to Joshy off of that same rod, and it's like, oh, that's nice.
I'm basically just in the camp where it's like, I don't think it makes a difference for like line shyness or for fish caring about it, because anything you're throwing a Ned rig, like as finessey as it gets, there's still a shiny silver hook sticking out of that worm. So I don't think that like tiny little extra piece of metal is going to do anything to that fish to shy it away. I'm just lazy, dude. I hate retying so much.
I do too.
And because I do so much, like, and you do too, right? Everybody does, where it's like, you're either waiting. If you're waiting, you have to use a snap. Like I have 4 or 5 lures in my pockets, and I just, you know, you're in the water, you don't have to go to the shore and set your rod down, you just go ahead and snap it on. But in kayaks and stuff like that, it's like, I just don't want to take the time to fumble around and retie. And I'll, you know, if it means that, you know, you have every once in a while you break something off or something, but I still don't have that happen very often. I'm not catching, you know, 20 pound bass around here. Nothing's really breaking my snaps.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I throw,
they're not bending those out.
I think the only thing I throw snaps on is I do a snap barrel swivel combo on Whopper Plopper when I do throw it so it doesn't roll. And then God got me throwing snaps on S waivers and an A rig. And that's because I'm real fast to put the A rig up and want to use that rod for something else.
Yeah.
And that's been working. Gerald Swindle said it best. That fish didn't get bothered by that other 200 foot of line. I don't think it's going to get bothered by that last 1 inch. So,
nope.
Ever since I saw that video, him saying that when he was tying the FG knot, I have cared. Like, I don't care about cutting off the tag end as far. I don't care what's in front of that bait. Like, he's right. They don't care at that point.
Nope. Yeah. We give them way too much credit a lot of times. I mean, they're hitting, like, I don't know. Even like,
and it's not, like, definitely not going to be smallmouth.
Yeah, like there's a 5-aught EWG hook sticking out of your bait. That doesn't look natural. There's, you know, 2 giant, 3-aught treble hooks sticking off your bait. That doesn't look natural. Why are we so worried about like something this big when you just have stuff on that bait that is clearly should be a red flag to that fish, but we just kind of write it off and like, no, it's supposed to be on that bait. That's how the bait is. It's like, we give them way too much credit. They have brains this size.
Yep. That, and they'll bite the same lure twice if they miss it the first time.
Have you guys ever caught the same fish twice?
I did last year, actually. Same spot on the river.
Right. I caught the same garter twice. Garden.
Same
Like garden bed.
Oh.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
How did that go?
Like, ran a buzz bait through some fry. They freaked out, and I knew I was about to get hit. He hit, you know, took him off, threw him back in, was just sitting talking to my buddy casually. And I don't even think I backed up off the spot. I just threw back in there. Fry split. He hit again. And, like, I almost put the hook in the same spot.
That's but,
like, it, I mean, it wasn't, though, like, a, it was like a 13-inch male. But it was just, like, I was just sitting there laughing with my buddy. I was like, I'm pretty positive this is the same fish. And then I, like, I took, like, a little goofy picture holding it up. And I looked at the picture. And I was like, this is the same fish. Like, it's like, this dude's doing his job.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, he's all-star garter.
Yeah. He's over there in the big bass side of Gunnersville. So I appreciate you, fella. Let them bad boys grow.
Yeah. Same kind of concept with me. I was fishing the spot on the river one week. I caught the fish, took a picture, went back the next weekend, caught the same fish. And the reason why I knew it was because it was the same size and it had melanosis spots on this fish. I'm like,
that's cool.
I had to compare the two fish. I'm like, it's the same fish. This is weird. Exact same spot too.
Hey, catch and release at work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. But yeah, you guys want to get into some buzz baits?
Sure.
What's your favorite buzz bait?
All of them. Which is sad because I never throw one.
What's up?
I said that's sad for me to say because I don't ever throw them anymore.
Oh, dude.
Well, this one right here that I showed you before we started, that triple yes. blade, this is what I call my finesse buzz bait. I get I think it's a quarter. It's the smallest mm-hmm. one they make other than like the crappie one.
I was about to say, that's not the smallest one they make.
No. But in this version, it's the lightest one they make. And I have chartreuse white and black. And mm-hmm. I don't know, in the springtime, it just seems to work. I've never caught anything big on it, but if I'm just trying to get bites off the bank, because you can creep this thing so slow because mm-hmm. it's got the flat bottom on the head, and then it's just, I mean, this thing doesn't weigh anything, and this, it's just like corrugated tin, it feels like, for mm-hmm. blades, and it's got a totally different sound. It's not, it's more of like the sound like a whopper plopper makes, the mm-hmm. more of a gurgle than a chatter.
Yeah, it's not as high pitched.
Right. And it gets a really good bubble trail too. And only thing I don't like about them after you catch a few fish, the little collar in the prop itself, I've had them, they'll start to get loose. Mm-hmm. And when they get loose, it'll start hanging the blade up at the front and it won't spin. But I mean, these things are like $3 or $4 maybe.
Yeah, so,
I think it's like $3.
Yeah, I mean, the hook is super sharp, and it's actually decently thick to be, like, the hook is thicker than the wire, which mm-hmm. obviously in a lot of spinnerbaits and stuff like that, you'll have that for heavy cover, but a bait of this size, it's kind of crazy to me. It's light wire for the, you know, the propeller and everything, but the hook is pretty heavy. But it's, yeah. I love these. I picked it up because I remember watching a Tactical Bassin video. He was throwing, like, 4-blade buzz baits, and I was like, geez, that sounds ridiculous. And then I happened to see these cheap 3-blade, and like, sure enough, like second or third cast, first time I ever used one, dude, crazy blow up, and was like, okay, I've had success with it since then, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of goes against your instincts too, where you look at, like, you know, the 2-blade things, and then you go up to a 3 and you're thinking, oh, the 3 is probably, like you said, that's got to be insane, and a 4 is insane. But like, the more blades you get on it, the more finesse it gets, because yep. there's less time for that next blade right. to hit the water. So it almost just becomes a finesse. It's just bulkier, but it's finesse. Do you ever crimp the little rivet in there to make it squeak?
I haven't.
Dude, if you take like little pliers, that little crimp that's right above the blade,
yeah.
if you kind of flatten that, a lot of times on most of them, it'll get it to kind of squeak, which I know you said you liked.
Huh.
I like squeaky.
Yeah.
So I'm actually using those same buzz baits, but it's funny you mentioned the finesse, the three blade being a finesse type bait. I've always had that in my mind. I use the eighth ounce, though. I think what Jimmy's using is the quarter ounce. But the eighth ounce, I've talked to Bailey from Serious Angler about this. He thinks I'm crazy. I'll use that buzzbait, and I'll put it on a medium light rod just for fun. Catching a smallmouth on a medium light rod and a buzzbait that size is so much fun.
I'm going to have to look them up because I thought these were the smallest, but if there is an eighth, I definitely want to try it.
Yeah, there's an eighth.
Because I went for like the super smallest one they had.
They make some that, like, again, I don't know how long it is, but it's literally like 2.5 inches long. Like it's mm-hmm. probably like that long. And I get those in white and I rip off the skirt on them and I put like a 3-inch, like either a Kalins or a Mr. Twister or something on the back. And in the rivers, holy moly. It's just something about, like, you've got the, you know, the buzzbait action you want, but you've got that kind of just slim down curly tail profile that smallies just love. And I go all white and it just gets murdered. So that's one of my favorite things. I don't know if it's a real thing. I just call it a buzz grub. And dude, the same thing though. I'll throw it on like a medium light and you'll just throw it in these like tiny little eddies and stuff like that and just get murdered.
Yep. Yeah, I've been using that little thing for years, and it's like nobody else uses them. And then I saw your post with it, and I was just like, holy crap, somebody else is using them. This is weird. That's awesome.
The other buzzbait that I really, really, really like are the Booyah Clackin' buzzbaits. The, like, 3/8 ounce, either just all black or all white. They're, like, $3.50, $4, something like that. They're really inexpensive. I love just a black clacking, like, loud as hell buzzbait, especially like spring and late fall. So like honestly right now, throw that shit up shallow. Sorry, just throw that up shallow and
you're good. Jay, man, he slips up all the time, so it's all good.
But yeah, you throw that up shallow in the, you know, the evening, especially late fall, and I mean you just get blown up like crazy. And I just love that clack. I didn't have a lot of confidence in it at first because I thought it sounded stupid, and you know, I thought it would maybe scare some stuff away and be a little shy of it. But when you do get blown up a lot of times, at least I think, if it's more obnoxious, you get a little bit higher quality fish sometimes. So I love those clacking buzzbaits.
I've got a couple here that I know I haven't seen them in a long time, and I'm wondering if y'all have ever seen them. So the first one is a double inline spinnerbait or buzzbait. And this one actually swims with the hook sideways. So it's got a fish head that's profiled to swim that way. But this thing will... like takes zero effort to get on top of the water. And this is probably the only buzzbait I ever run a trailer on. Like when I would use this, I would put a little bitty grub just big enough to get off the back of the hook because of the, you know, the fish head on it. And they spin opposite of each other. It creates a ridiculous wake. It's throwing spray. Like I cannot remember where I got these. I think it was a local in Birmingham that was making them. And for like $2 or something like that. Like, I don't know how he was making this kind of quality so cheap, but this is the last one I have, and I won't throw it anymore because
I've seen things that look like that before. I've never seen, obviously, that exact one, but that's so cool. Can you hold that up? It's like because you're right, it probably does spin opposite of each other. That's kind of like the theory of like a musky double cowgirl or something. It's like the equivalent of, you know, where they're just playing off of each other and going back and forth.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that one, and then here's another one I'm sure most people haven't seen. An old man got me on these. So for people watching on YouTube.
What?
So for people not watching, this is I think it was a 14-inch single blade, half-inch head. It's red and white with a blood red hook. So I thought these were ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then a buddy of mine, bass boat guy, said his favorite thing to do in the mornings and the evenings was find a deep bluff wall, and he would nose his boat into the bluff wall, and he will throw this thing as far as he can and just run it right up against the bluff wall. And sure enough, I did that the like week after he told me that, and we caught fish. We probably caught 10 or 20 fish that morning, 10 or 20 fish that evening. And that's because crazy. The blade's so far back and the commotion's so much further away than all the profile, I've never had a strike and miss. Like, it's not as aggressive as like a regular topwater blow up, but they will just drag this thing down. Like, it's insane. I haven't seen these anymore.
It looks like a dipstick.
Yeah. And this is a clacker too, man.
This thing is not the longest one. There's one like 4 inches longer than this.
Man.
It's just crazy. It's like 14 inches.
How much does it weigh?
It's a half ounce model. And honestly, like the Buzz Toad probably is two of these. Like, yeah. I need to, if I get up there and fish, I'm going to bring this. I want you to check it out. Like, this thing weighs nothing. And it's so easy to run.
So
how thick is that wire?
It's no thicker.
Like a 52 or something? Because, like, that, I mean, I just picture that bending out.
And, yeah. I've used this one tons of times, and you can see it's super flexy.
Oh, okay.
But I've never, you can actually feel it. So down here, it feels softer. And then through here, it's got a lot more stiffness, but it's all one wire, so I have no clue how they do that.
So it looks like, it's made to have that play in it then, because right. You're right. If he was just trying to make a thick wire that wouldn't bend at all, it'd be terrible, because as soon as it bends the first time, it's never going to be back the same. So right. It looks like he did it right, where it's got play in it.
Yeah, and these, I love these things. Again, I don't throw this one, because it's the last one I have. But if I need to go to some of them old tackle shops down there in Birmingham, Central Alabama, see if I can find a few more of these.
Oh, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life.
wait a few years, man. Wait a few years, they'll come back around.
Yeah. I need to get to throwing it since it's not in style right now. Start catching some fish.
So you did you share what your favorite bait was, Andrew?
For buzz bait?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Booyah. I just have so much confidence in it. It's inexpensive. I love them so much. But again, buzzbaits are one of those things. I think probably a buzzbait is a buzzbait as long as it's got a good hook on it, long as it's, staying on top of water and doing what you want it to do. You can't really mess them up too bad unless they just have, like, the worst wire in the world that, they can't hold up to the abuse that the fish are putting on them, or, they have hooks that rust out too easy. But other than that, I mean, I don't think I've ever met a buzzbait I didn't like.
Yeah,
really. Like, that's why I said what I said when you asked, all of them. Like,
yeah,
I like the clackers. I like them that squeak. I like them that are quiet. I like two blades. I've actually got one. Dang, I should have got it out. Have you ever seen the one that's double?
Yeah,
on the horizontal plane. A buddy of mine told me I was stupid for buying that thing because it's like this big. He's like that just catches the fisherman. And I threw that thing on a log out in the middle of the river, and now the fish was smaller than the buzzbait, but it caught a fish.
There so you it go. Works. That's awesome. Moving on to trailers or jig. Yeah, trailers and jigs. Let's talk about both of those.
Before we get off that, I know you had said something about it before. Did you want to talk? Because I know you like the Buzz Toad.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Buzz Toad. I've never actually thrown it, but I've seen videos of Chad Hoover throwing it on the river down in Tennessee. I think he was on the Holson River. But yeah, he was killing smallies with that thing.
I've never caught a fish on this is the one you buy in the package. It comes like this. I don't really like this one as much as I thought because of the thick lead head on it, but I have taken other buzz baits, actually some of those cheap Academy ones, and I'll rip the skirt and put the Buzz Toad on it. And I've caught fish on those. I don't know. There's too much I could say could be different. I mean, the noise could be different, the profile and all of that stuff. But I still get this one out occasionally to give it a swing. I just haven't hooked up on this one yet.
Yeah, I need to throw those. It looks cool.
That's something I never throw. I honestly don't know if I've ever thrown a buzz toad. I'm trying to think. I don't think so. Not that I mean, it looks good. I have no doubt that it works. It's just something I've never tried. Might have to do that this year.
Same here.
I'll tell you, I won't speak it on the podcast because this is something I've used that worked, and I don't want to tell anybody yet. So, but I'll tell you after the show if something I've been putting on buzzbaits.
Well, who is it that is putting Kytex on buzzbaits? It's some professional out there. I can't remember who it is.
I've put the small ones on the little one. But
well, they take the skirt off and they just put a fat swing impact on it.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
I want to say it's Jacob Wheeler, but I don't know if that's right.
I feel like that buzzbait's going to make all sorts of like, because you throw it on a light enough buzzbait, it's going to, I mean, the swing, the fat swing impacts, they thump hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to give it some, I wonder who that is, because I thought he throws the toads on a lot.
I first heard it from Sam Jones, so it might be Jacob Wheeler.
This year, if Jacob Wheeler was doing it, then we all need to be doing it, because he was doing something right this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude.
On fire.
Yeah, he annoys me how good he is.
And that would suck, too. You have, like, you know, a just insane career year in the year where half of your events get canceled.
Yeah.
Like, dude, your dude's on a roll. Like, can do no wrong. And then
but
they
at
take
the
away
same time, you're so thankful you cashed checks when you did.
Yeah, also true, too. Yeah, but you just have that kind of, like, what if in the back of your mind where he's like, dude, every event I'm in this year, I'm doing well. I'm, you know, top tens galore. All dude, what if you would have given him those other whatever three or four MLF events that they canceled and all that stuff? He would have, my goodness gracious, makes me want to throw up.
Yeah. It was a definite turnaround year for him, because I know last year he had a couple of events where he, like, I don't remember what lake it was. I actually think it might have been, like, the first run at Table Rock. I can't remember. But, like, he was leading day one, and then he fell flat on his face on day two. Like, was, like, 46 pounds and, like, zero. Like, it just, boom.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, yeah. Let's get into jigs and trailers. Let's go with Andrew. What's your go-to jig and trailer?
So jigs, I started making my own like 2 years ago, and before I never was really picky on jigs. I mean, as long as it's got the head shape that I really want, I'm not gonna you know, race heck about it. It's fine. But I started making my own, and I slowly realized how bad a lot of the jigs that I had been using were. When you can actually start making your own, you can put your own hooks in there, you can put your own powder paint that's cured right and done right. You know, when you are tying your own skirts, it's like it spoils you. And then you go back and then you pick up like a Strike King Hack Attack jig or something, or a Bitsy Bug jig off the shelf, and you look at it and you're like, dude, I can do twice this well, like with half the price. So when you start making your own, I think you spoil yourself a little bit, but I'm glad I did, because now any color that I want, any, you know, head design that I want, I can melt my own lead, all that kind of stuff. I can put the hooks that I want in them. And I enjoy doing that. So I've actually made my own jigs for about the past, like I said, I think maybe 1 to 2 years probably now. As far as trailers go, it depends on what time of year and what I'm trying to do. If it's when the fish are really active, then obviously it's tough to beat, like, you know, a rage crawl on the back or something that's got a lot of flap. One of the most underrated jig trailers in the world, I think, is a Havoc Pit Boss. I think they're like $2.99 a pack. You can get them at Walmart. You get the 4-inch one. Don't get the 3-inch one. If you want, you know, to use it as a trailer, get the 4-inch and cut about a half inch or an inch off that, because those 4 inches flaps so much different than the 3. So I think a 4-inch Pit Boss is tough to beat, especially for the price. And then I really like Netbait Pack-a-Chunks. I mean, they're, again, inexpensive. I'm a dude that hates to overpay for things, but they have just enough motion that they're a nice kind of in between to like a rage crawl, or just like a, you know, one of those dead chunks from whoever you want to get it from, Zoom or something. They're like, they're a really nice medium. So those are the ones I'm usually throwing.
The Paka Chunk, the Paka Crawl, the Papa Crawl.
Yeah.
They haven't changed those in like 20 years. They rebranded the packaging, but those, man. That's all
you
I can
don't
afford.
Need to change them. They're so good.
No. Like, I don't know why I don't throw them anymore. And it's, I don't know. I still, like, I'll go to the store, I'll pick up a pack, and it's like I recollect all the memories with it. And then I just put it back, like, see you, old friend. But, like, I've got, you know, as much controversy as there is with the brand, the Guggenbait Kraken Crawl. So, and it goes with what jig I'm using. So there's a local here that may, it's called Spanker Jigs. And I've been throwing a lot of his stuff, and I like a finesse. I don't know if I'll be able to get it. This is a finesse round ball head jig with a hand tied skirt.
Yeah.
And I don't know what hooks he's using. I've never straightened one out. Like, for instance, this is the same jig, but like 3 years old. Like, I've beat the color off of it. It's losing the skirt. But with vertical line tie, it almost sits up like a Nedrig would.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Guggen Kraken Craw on it, like you said, I usually cut like half an inch of it off, and it just stands up, and their claws, like fishing in current, the claws have the tendency to just sit up like this, and it just, it's been like, I'm not like a big push on all of their stuff, mm-hmm. but like, and it could just be because it's not, you know, just like with any new bait, it's not been seen by the fish, but the Guggen Kraken Craw has been my go-to craw this year, because it, you know, it'll do the same thing on a Texas rig. You know, I'll turn it, you know, horizontal on a, or I guess mm-hmm. this would be vertical, inline on a jackhammer.
I've heard guys doing that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I have stopped throwing swim baits on chatterbaits. Look, yeah. I watched, wasn't Tyler Reese. I can't remember. It's the guy with the big beard, YouTuber. That doesn't narrow that down at all. But, God, I can't remember. He throws a Thunder Cricket in certain color, certain time of the year with a craw one way, and then a jackhammer in other colors with a craw the other way. And I watched his video on that. So I grabbed a couple of them and tried it. And I had one day where I'm just murdered with it. It was actually on the fire craw.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I may have one hooked up. I don't, but fire craw jackhammer with a black and blue Kraken craw.
You better hide that, dude. That thing's gold right now.
Hey, I got about eight of these. I'll send you my Venmo.
$60 a piece.
That's right. I'll even sell you this one that ain't got paint on it no more.
Oh, I was gonna mention, Andrew, I thought your favorite jig trailer was the Bandito bug.
negative Ghost Rider.
That's what I was telling Brad.
I listened to your episode today.
Dude, yeah, so did I.
So much crap. Oh my gosh. People just hopped in. I was like, I knew it was going to happen. But again, I feel like if you're going to have that conversation, because so many people love them, it's like, dude, I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm not saying that it's not a good bait. I'm just saying that like the hype is way up here, and there are other creature baits out there that do basically the exact same thing and were around before them and are a little bit cheaper. It's like, it's all I'm trying to say. Don't shoot me. But yeah, the you mentioned, some craws that you like too, and one of the things that I've kind of put some people on a little bit recently is, if I've had a lot of people like, they like the motion of like a rage craw or a Kraken craw or whatever. You've just got that really vigorous flap, but Kraken craw not so much, but rage craw definitely is a fairly bulky craw. Like it's not very streamlined, it's not very finesse,
right.
If you're going to put that on the back of like a smaller jig, then sometimes it just, you know, it gets a little wonky because you just have so much plastic on the back of it.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been using lately has been the Yum Christie craw.
Yeah.
So I mean, great. They're streamlined. They've still got that flap that you want. They're great. They're cheap. I've been using them a lot. I probably have 7 or 8 packs in the garage right now.
Something a buddy of mine got me on, and it's, so I alternate. So if they're keying on the bigger profile, I use the Guggen Kraken craw. But when it seems like they want it slimmer, I use the Zoom Ultra Vibe Speed Craw, because it's,
those are great,
basically
too.
A thin profile. It's got, it's not as much kick, but it's not just like a dead, you know,
right,
just barely flap. I don't know. These are super cheap because it's Zoom, and I don't know. These, like, I like throwing them on my flipping jigs, which this one, I didn't cut this one down. Apparently it's like way too long, but, I usually go this route in smallmouth water. Like when I'm up here fishing, moving current, I usually throw, I think this is a quarter, maybe lighter, of that Spanker Finesse jig with that craw. I mean, it's a almost perfect color. And that worked for me. The Alabama craw color just hammered smallmouth for me this year.
That's a good point. Like if you're going for smallmouth, that slimmer profile craw is a big deal. It's like, you probably don't want to be going out and throwing a full size rage craw around. Like you need something like that speed craw, or you need something like a Christie craw, or something that's just got a lot slimmer profile. You can still have that action you want. You just don't need
right.
that bulk on it. Yeah.
I've actually never thrown a jig for smallmouth.
So I last year, and actually I think I talked about it on the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment. Like I just had one, like I was all into the Texas rig just because, like I said last night, you know, a lot of guys will throw a shaky head and they'll be getting bit. I don't have confidence in that. I'll throw a Texas rig with a worm, and I can make that work right beside you. But I going to the off season year before last, I was like, I'm going to pick up a jig and I'm going to figure it out. Like, I've thrown footballs. I like footballs if I'm in like a lot of rock, but you usually won't catch me throw one anywhere else. I know a lot of guys that like flipping football jigs and stuff like that. I will not do that. I throw swim jigs. Obviously, most people, if you throw jigs, you'll throw swim jigs. But I, after that, I don't get into the, you know, pitching and skipping and flipping and this head and that head. These, I ran into these because they're like 2 for $6 or $7. And like, I literally have, I don't bend the hooks out, not had the wire guard come off, haven't lost skirts off these. You know, it's a local guy. He keeps the little gas station up here stocked up with them. And, you know, I started throwing it because I have them in like 3/8 and 1/4. I think I've got some in like half. And I just like, I wouldn't let myself pick the Texas rig back up until I had figured out how to throw that jig. And it there, and there's days now where, like, I've explained that before too. If, you know, the Texas rig bites like meh, I'll pick the jig up, and it must be that just the skirt, they want that more profile. And then there's days, like I was saying with this, like how I kind of figured out the smaller one was working better for smallmouth, is I was getting like little pickups and just little hits, or the bite were just small fish. And then, you know, I stopped and thought about it. I was like, well, you know, small mouth, obviously maybe keying in on something small would help. And, you know, had a lights out day when I did that.
Is that a ball head jig you got?
Yeah.
I was going to ask that.
There's just something about ball head jig for smallmouth, because I think the majority of the time when you're fishing for smallmouth, you're just letting that like come through current and rock, and you're not really flipping into lay downs. You're not flipping grass edges, things like that. You don't need those like specialized heads. Lot of times you just need kind of like an all around head that can just kind of go with the current and kind of just hop over rock after rock. Yeah. And a ball head jig does that. One of my favorite ones that I used to use before I started making mine were, Bait Buffet, I think is the name of it. Yeah. They're out of, I think, like Illinois or Indiana or something. Same thing. It looks very similar to what you were holding up, where it's just like a nice finesse, well-made ball head jig. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah, no, that I literally have, like, I've got 2 3,700 boxes in there, and I can't say out loud, cause I think my wife's still in there, how much is in jigs in those boxes. And some of them I got cheap. I got lucky 2 years ago at a tackle swap. We do a local tackle swap at a high school, and I help donate money to the high school fishing team every year. And a couple kids at Ty Jigs showed up, and he had these boxes laying out. And I was like, how much? And he was like $1 a jig. I just was like, I'll take the whole box.
There you go.
I'll tell you, somebody that makes a good one, well, I don't say great one, they could improve on one thing. Bass Pro Shop started doing finesse ball head tungsten jigs. And that thing, I was catching so many fish on that beginning of this year, but the third time you catch a fish, that thing will straighten the hook out, because the hook is garbage.
I was about to say,
it's garbage.
It is the second worst hook on the market behind the Z-Man shroom heads. They're so bad, but I was so excited when they had tungsten mini jigs come out.
And they're like $3.
Yeah, they're not that expensive either. And then you're right, you pay for it in the hook. So you have 2 to 3 fish, or if you get hung up once, goodbye.
It's gone. Yeah, no.
Well, you'll probably get it back, but the hook will be like this instead of this.
Yeah, no. Like, I tried to force it because it was just working so well when I got them. I was like, well, I'll just buy more of them. And then, like, the second time I did that, I was like, dude, it's like it's costing me like $22 a trip. Like, I can't do this. And it wouldn't even be a big fish. Like, you'd have a 15, smoke it, you know, sideways or something like that. You wouldn't even really horse the fish in. You'd pop it out of its mouth and you'd notice that the hook tip was up.
Yep.
The next fish, the hook tip's up further. And I was just like, I got one. I still got it hanging in there. I've straightened the hook on it probably, or like not straightened, but recurved it probably 15 times. I just want to see it pop off. Like, eventually it's
going to
break.
Yeah.
I do that with all my Ned rig heads. They'll straighten out and I'll just bend them right back.
I know, it's like it's not that hard to use decent hooks. It's like Mustad makes fantastic hooks to use for, you know, like making your own tackle and stuff like that. If anybody's interested in making their own jigs, look at like the Mustad Ultra Points and mm-hmm. use those in your own jigs once, and then you're going to say, why the hell are other people's jigs have such bad hooks?
Yeah.
And these are like some of the cheapest ones on the market, and they're stout, they're sharp as heck, they're good, they last. It's like, why can't everybody just use quality hooks?
I want to get into making my own jigs so bad, but I do not need that'll become its a hobby in itself. Yeah. And I don't have time for that right now. I have a winter buddy that time, just started making his jigs and stuff, and like he's making some really nice stuff. And he was like, yeah, man, I'll give you he gets a deal on the molds and stuff like that. And I was like, no, just make me some. Like, I trust you.
Well, like you can even go midway through if you want. Like if you're, there's some people that are just like really skeeved out about like melting their own lead and all the fumes and stuff like that that come with it, and they don't have the right area and, you know, ventilation and stuff like that. You can go online. You can find people that make like really, really nice unpainted, no weed guard in it yet, no skirt, just like the hook with the lead on it, and then you go from there. There's a website called, it's called like Seibert Outdoors. He's out of Missouri somewhere, and he does that where he can he basically sell you a jig. It's got the Mustad Ultra Points in it, and he makes a couple different styles. He has one called a sniper jig that's really, really nice. They're like, I don't know, 70 cents each or something, and they're unpainted. And then you get them and you just, you know, you paint it yourself, you drill it out, you glue in your brush guard, you do the skirt and everything like that. And you don't have to worry about the melting pot and your lead and stuff like that. So if somebody wants to like make their own jig but not dive that hard into it, you can make really, really nice jigs without actually melting your own lead. And I think what you could probably do that with skirt and everything included for like $1.50, $1.75 a jig, and make a jig that's twice what you're going to get at Walmart.
Yeah.
We all got to aim to be like Russ Snyder and just make all of our own stuff.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
His spinners and buzz. And
does he make everything?
He makes most of it. I want to say, and I could be wrong, Adam will hear this and let me know if I am. I'm pretty sure that he was making chatterbaits for himself, and he was making them to the point that I think he got one of those letters from Z-Man.
Really?
Hey, cease and desist.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember him on one of our podcasts. He was talking about his bait, and he was like, yeah, I've got about 20 of them left. But after that, like, he has to go to make them a different way or something like that. I don't know all the details. I remember that. I think he makes all of his own spinner baits and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I know from Z-Man is I think they have a patent on attaching of the hex blade being attached to the jig head without like a split ring or something in the middle. So that's how you see a lot of these get away with it. It's like Thunder Crickets and stuff like that, where they have some sort of little buffer in there where they've got some little O-ring or something that goes in the middle of it. I think Z-Man is the only one that's technically allowed to like have that hex blade already in there without a coupling. I could be wrong, but I think that's where they get a lot of people.
Interesting.
That's why you just make it for yourself and don't let anyone know.
Exactly.
I was going to go back to your ball head jig, dude. If you see any at the store, pick them up and I'll give you money.
Someone what do you? Yeah. Thank you.
Dude, there's some good ones. I don't know anybody locally that makes ball heads that I know around here, I don't think. Like I said, I used to buy them from Bait Buffet. They were like, I don't know, $3.99 or something. They were solid, but you know, there's a lot of really good smaller jig companies out there that are making good stuff too that I wish people would look more into.
I need to send y'all some of these because I mean they're not really that expensive, and like I usually just grab a few of them when I'm in, like every time I go to that gas station I just go grab. I mean, he's got some killer colors, and he's got flipping jigs and skipping jigs and all sorts of stuff. He's got heavy cover swim bait or swim jigs, you know, light wire swim jigs, but I'll have to send you a picture of his little wall he has, and if you see some that'd colors you like, I'll pick them up and send them to you.
Sweet. That'd be awesome. I just got into fishing jigs this year. I don't fish lakes much or anything, so what I've been throwing is the Jigmaster jig with a chigger crawl.
Yep.
And that's it. Just keeping it simple.
Cody makes some good stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
I did not know that he was messing with marabou hair.
Yeah.
And he makes marabou drop shot hooks.
Yes, he does.
Mm.
And I had like a mild freak out when I saw those. he brought a whole bunch of stuff to the meetup for a giveaway, and he was like, y'all can look through there and grab a couple of things. And I just, it, you know, first glance, I was like, wow, Marabou hair in a package. And then I was like, wait a minute. I saw a little shiny something, and I saw that little bitty number one hook, and I was like, ooh. And then the guy that got big fish in our tournament, he's from out west, out in California, and he loves throwing, you know, Marabou stuff. And he won some of those in the big bass thing, and he immediately, like, we were literally sitting there eating dinner at the restaurant. He tied them on, went outside, and was like, he lost one. He's like, but I caught a fish on it. He's like, I need to order about 50 of these things. Like, but they're so nice, man. They look so real. Like, if for people that are listening that may not ever heard of, like, Marabou hair jigs, most of the southern guys, you don't hear a lot about that. And then the ones that do it don't talk about it. But it's honestly the most natural thing you'll see in the water, because the hair just moves so fluid.
And it's, and it, also the worst looking thing when it comes out of the water.
When it dries.
Yeah, it looks so bad.
I've got a black one tied on right now in the paddle and fin trailer, and it looks like an afro. Just like, or something that got hit by lightning. Like, yeah. It's so it's funny. Awesome.
It's either that, or it looks like a dead rat or something when it comes out of the water. Like, I have a lot of Marabou musky lures that I use. And so, like, you're talking, when it comes out of the package, it looks beautiful. You're like, this is the coolest looking bait ever. You throw it a couple times in the water, it looks insanely cool. And then you pull it out, and it looks like somebody, like, drowned a guinea pig or something. And, like, that's what it is. And
they will never look as good as they do the first time you take. When you take it out of the package, it's like they've straightened the hair. And you're like, oh, it's so beautiful. And like you said, like, I was just motoring from spot to spot, and the wind dried it, and I just had this white puffy ball on the front of the kayak.
It's like your wife doing her hair and then walking outside in the humidity.
Right.
when I caught my first muskie, it was on a muskie marabou, and I decided, like, I wanted to keep that lure, and I wanted to, like, display it, and I had a shadow box and stuff with a picture of the muskie, and I went to put the lure in there, and I, like, put it in there, and again, it's just this, like, matted, gross, giant marabou thing. I was like, I can't display that. So I went in the bathroom, and I got it wet, and I took my wife's hair dryer, and I started, like, hair drying it to make it look good. And she walked in, and she's like, what are you doing? I said, don't worry about it. It's like, just turn around and keep going. Yes, I'm hair drying a fishing lure, leave me alone.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
But no, yeah, Cody makes some good stuff. I've just started throwing some of his jigs. I've got one of them right here. And once I get hooked on a brand, it's hard for me to.
Yeah.
I'll throw this thing for 10 minutes, be like, nope, going back to my jig. I need to give it a little more time, because they do feel like they're built real well.
I like the skirt material.
Yeah. So his skirt material and the spanker are very, very similar. Like, I really will. I'll send you some of these. These are
sweet.
I don't know. I just, man, these things are money for $3. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of, if you don't lose them, they'll last forever.
Speaking of skirt material, Cody, I saw, started making living rubber jigs, like round rubber, the old school, like, rubber that you go in the water. I mean, that sucker just poofs up like a cush ball. Like, that's crazy.
Man, I should have got it out. The Buckeye mop jig was made with that. And I actually watched a dude fishing in at a Bass Pro Shop tank in a seminar, and he would hop it off the bottom and stop and suspend, and that mop jig would get the size of a freaking baseball. And like, the fish wouldn't even be looking at it bouncing, because that's what he was showing. He would bounce, 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 he'd pull up and pause, and they would freak out when it just, you know, got to full size. They would, oh man.
Interesting.
Yeah, you want to make somebody buy something, you show them an underwater tank of living rubber, and they will fork over their money right away.
I did. I walked right.
It looks so good. Yeah. I need that.
Well, man, I got to get that jig back out. I forgot all about that until you said that. I've got three or four of them here somewhere.
They're good. That's one of those things that used to be, like, really big, I think, back in the day, was round rubber and living rubber and stuff. And then, again, like you said, Brad, earlier, it's like it falls out of favorability, and then give it time and it'll come back. You know it will. There's only, you know, and until something brand new and revolutionary comes around, it's just a cycle of old and new and old and new. So,
yeah.
Before we get off, did any of y'all throw the wobblehead jigs?
Yes.
Like, I see a lot of guys talk about doing that ledge fishing and stuff. The big,
yes.
It's like a big jointed football head.
Oh, like, yeah, Z-Man makes one, right?
Probably, if I had to guess. Yeah. I like the Strike King one, honestly. It's just got a mean hook on it, and the yep. joint doesn't ever, like, I've seen them where they'll roll, and you'll lose the pivot because it basically is two loops binding on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that problem out of theirs. I haven't thrown it that much. I did get some, I think it's called Funk Buster. He makes some mm-hmm. Stuff. I have some of his, and the one thing I like about his is his paint jobs on his stuff and his skirt, like the way he matches colors together, it's beautiful. Like, I've got one in black and purple that I will not throw because it's just so pretty. Like, it's literally hanging on my desk in there because it looks good. Like,
there you go.
Yeah, I throw the, I think it's the Strike King Tour Grade ones. It's probably the same one you're talking about where it's kind of got that sort of triangular-shaped head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one that I throw, too. Big EWG hook on the back of it.
EWG hook. Like, I think it's like a 5-0. Like,
geez. Yeah, I throw those a lot of times where a lot of guys will throw a regular football jig. So, like, your deep, rocky points, because we don't have, like, or at least not a lot of the lakes we have around here have, like, crazy ledges or anything like that. So that's the closest thing we have. But, like, mm-hmm. go out to the tail end of those rock points, like, where it really starts to give you that final sort of
drop off,
bend down. Yeah, and I'll go out there and I'll just fish it, and I'll fish them, like, across the point. Right at the very end of it, and I mean, it's so much fun because it is. The one thing I want is I want to be able to find, like, I know it would be expensive as heck, but if you could find, like, a tungsten one, holy moly.
I want to say I've got one. I don't remember who makes it. It's now, it's not like a 3/4. It's like a, I think it might not even be a half, but it is a tungsten wobbling football head, and I've thrown it, like, one time, like, one day. And, like, I don't know how your retrieve is. When I throw those, you know, I throw it out and I just creep it across the bottom and just, I mean, you just do. You feel like it feels like if you could imagine just like a ball coming down like a Plinko. Like, that's what it feels like. It's just like smack, 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 smack. It's hitting everything. Like, in my head, you just hope the fish gets it because you never know, like, what position it's in. Mm-hmm. But,
yep. That's a really good way to describe it, because that's what you want to feel. You want to feel that Plinko just kind of the boing, 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 back and forth. You're right. You have no idea if until it starts actually pulling, like, I have no idea if it's a bite or not, or if I just smack a boulder. And that's what you want. You're right. You want, and you don't want these, like, or at least I don't really, like, hop it over or anything like that. I want it to dig into that rock. So I want to, like, feel to where I'm getting that tension where it feels like it's almost stuck on the other side of that rock. And I just want to keep pulling until it kind of grinds to the point where that resistance just pulls it over top. That's usually when you're going to get hit. I love throwing, like, football heads and wobble heads on rock points.
And I was just about to say, like, the bite, just like you said, it's not, even if it is aggressive, you won't know it because you're hitting so much stuff. And then, like, when I get, like, I'll be reeling it through rock. When I feel it go back to mud, like, I just rip it out of there. Just, you know, come back and it's over with. I watched a tactical bassing video, and that guy was talking about, like, start to finish, bomb the cast all the way to the boat. I haven't had luck doing that with those. If I'm not feeling good contact, but that's me most fishing. If I'm not feeling everything on the bottom, I have zero confidence. That's what mm-hmm. screwed me up when I went to lacrosse. When I went to lacrosse, it was all sandy bottom. And I fished for that half day and was like, I am so screwed. Like, because the water was stupid low, and, like, all the cover I wanted to fish was just up the bank. That was just a bad tournament for me, man. I had absolutely no confidence, no game plan. It was so bad.
Yeah. And you made a good point too, where it's like, you almost don't know sometimes like that if you have a fish until your rod loads up, like, completely. Yeah. Like, that's when I was talking to, who was it? Mikey Balls. And he was saying that, like, he uses moderate rods for a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, he doesn't use that fast tip, like, you know, traditional bass mm-hmm. fishing knowledge says that you should do. He says he uses a lot of moderate rods because in that instance, he's like, I'm just waiting for my rod to load up. Like, that's how I know I have a fish. I'm not waiting for that, like, tick. I'm not waiting for that, you know, that bite or that strike that you can actually indicate. He's like, I'm waiting for that rod bend to slowly kind of make that C shape, and you're like, all right, it's on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I've one of the fish I've caught with it, like I thought I'd wedged it in a rock because it loaded up, and I was like, oh, it's stuck, and then I was like, wait, no, it's swimming another way. Like, oh. I mean, when you're throwing one of these 3/4 or 1 ounce ones, that you're throwing it in somewhat deep water, that I mean, it's so heavy, like yeah. You don't know until it starts giving you something back. Like,
and that's a plus, I think, for like a wobblehead versus a big, thick, like football head jig, is if you're going to use like a more moderate rod or things like that, you don't have to drive that hook home so hard because it's just mm-hmm. like a Texas rig hook. It's an EWG. Or if you have a big, thick football jig with a big, thick weed guard on it, you do have to kind of have a little bit more stouter rod, a little bit faster tip to really drive that home. So I think it's probably a plus one in the category for a wobblehead or a pivot head or something, or at least what something I like.
I always did with football head jigs was trim the weed guards. Like, you know, pull some of the stranding out and cut it. It's probably completely killing the purpose of how it's built, but it just feels like you said, you don't have to just hit that hero hook set on them like Brad does.
It's so much fun, man.
It's fun until you hit yourself.
Oh, Josh does the same thing. I don't know if you've seen his video with him and Brian fishing together, but Josh sets the hook real hard with like a light wire jig and he ends up losing the fish. He gets so mad.
The line right off, yeah.
Yeah.
I have buddies make fun of me because, like, I'll get in excited when we're fishing, moving water. And I will, dude, I'll start just sending that hook home. And then, you're pulling up like a rock bass.
Yeah.
And like, dude,
leave his lips, man.
I have a really bad tendency to, like, be having a bad day. And then, like, 4 hours later, that first, like you said, rock bass or 10-inch bass, yeah, get sent to the moon, like, over your shoulder because it's just pent up, just frustration. I've done that in, like, tournaments and stuff before where you're just having, like, a terrible day. You're hour three after launch. You've got, one keeper in the live well, and it wasn't one that you caught, and you're in the back of the boat, and you're just like, dude, I'm not feeling this. And then all of a sudden you get that one bite that is, like, there's, like, a half chance that it's a bluegill, and you're like, I don't care, I'm sending it to Mars. And then it goes over your shoulder and you're like, whoops.
Best footage of somebody that does that's Greg Blanchard. I think last year he did it so many times, dude. He would rip one out of the pads and you'd hear that poor thing just bounce off the boat, or it'd fly over the front of the boat. And I mean, I not making fun of him or anything about it. I think it's hilarious. I mean, but like he said something one time, he was like, I might have killed that little guy. Like, I mean, the smack when that thing hit the kayak.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Well, we better end this, man. Brian's going to chastise us.
He's got nothing better to do. It's not like he does a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't run this whole group of misfits and... And now the paddle and fin trail, and
I don't know how he does it. I'm sure he'll talk to you on your show about it, but man, he
I'm interested, dude, because he's got a lot. I mean, you guys have a billion and a half shows and segments and stuff, and I didn't know that he edited all of it and stuff like that. Like, that's a big task.
Yeah, we appreciate him. That's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts all the time too.
Yep. Well, it was fun, man. Before we end it, you got any shout outs? Shout your show sponsors out if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, Top Fishing Deals. If it's one of those ones that every once in a while you just get approached by something that seems like a no brainer. And the guys over there, Jesse, the owner, is insanely cool. And a long time ago, he reached out and was like, hey, I'm thinking about making a website where basically I'm going to put the best like sales and stuff from all over the internet and from all the retailers and just have like an easy one-stop shop kind of go-to website where you just check and see what's on sale and what's on clearance and stuff like that. I was like, dude, that's a no-brainer for me. I'm redneck to the bone. I don't pay retail for anything. As like, I am the guy that's knee-deep in the bargain bin at Field & Stream all the time looking for, like, the buy 4 for $5, knowing darn well they're all big bite baits, things that I already have and don't need any more of. And, they've been great. Dark Horse Tackle's been working with us the past couple months. They've been great too. But yeah, I mean, if anybody's interested, it's just the Tackle Talk podcast or wherever normal podcasts are. And it's kind of fun. It's totally different from what you guys do too, which is why I think all this stuff is so cool. It's like you guys, I'm kind of jealous sometimes because your guys is a lot more laid back. Like you get to sit out and basically hang with your friends and just talk fishing. And mine's more like, I don't know, come prepared. It's 30 minutes, so it's very like short and concise, and trying to throw a lot of information in 30 minutes, and you know, just try and make sure that if you're listening for 30 minutes, it was worth it and you learned something. So it's a lot of preparation, a lot of like, you know, just trying to provide value in 30 minutes. So it's, if you're looking for a, you know, a listening to buddies talk about fishing, it may not be your cup of tea, but you know, if you're looking to maybe pick up some tips and tricks, and you know, hopefully if you're like, you know, one of those middle guys like me, and you know, I think a lot of people fall in that boat where it's like, not a pro, I'm not a novice, I'm somewhere in between, but I know that I still have a lot to learn. It's like, mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool show for those people.
Yeah. I recommend it, man.
If you don't watch it, you're going to get sucked into the Paddle and Fin family, man. We're looking to add another 40 or 50 shows.
I have told people a billion times, I said, it is not pulling teeth to get me to talk fishing. I can do it, you know, 24/7. And I think almost every angler is the exact same way. It's like we just pine for that excuse to sit down and talk about fishing.
I could challenge Joe Rogan's 4-hour podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd be all fishing, like straight up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been fun, man. Thanks again for coming on the show. I'm sure we'll have you back on again because this was a lot of fun.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm going to annoy this dude. Like, be like, hey, what are you doing? Let's talk fishing. Like, I'll just hit the record button.
There you go.
Does the day end in Y? Because I'm on board.
Heck yeah. I was going to say something else, but I forget. But it's all good. Anyway, I'll probably remember it after I hit the stop button here. So, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. See you.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catch board. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20 and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.